So imagine you are sitting on your couch on a random Thursday night. It is September 10, 2026. You're, scrolling through your feed, maybe half watching something on TV, and suddenly you witness what is arguably the most explosive 60-second window in gaming history.
Oh, it was an absolute earthquake for the industry. Like,
Oh, yeah.
totally unprecedented.
Yeah.
It's literally the kind of moment where anyone who follows entertainment economics, they remember exactly where they were when they saw that news break.
Totally. And the mission of our deep dive today, it isn't just to gawk at the drama of one massive video game getting canceled.
Right, because it's so much bigger than that.
Exactly. We have this massive stack of data and reporting from Taken Game Media, and what this dossier actually outlines is a masterclass in modern entertainment economics.
Yeah, it really is.
We are looking at the literal death of permanent platform loyalty. And, this billion-dollar battle for the living room. So, okay, let's unpack this, because this timeline reads less like a standard corporate press release and way more like a corporate espionage thriller.
It really does. And before we can even begin to analyze the financials or the broader industry implications of all this, we have to look at the sheer whiplash of that night. Because the precision of it shows just how incredibly calculated this entire maneuver was.
Timing is just wild.
It is. So if we look at the play-by-play, at exactly 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the official PlayStation account puts out a statement.
Okay.
And it's heavily sanitized, very diplomatic corporate speak. They state they have made the, quote, difficult decision to step away from collaborating with Hideo Kojima's Kojima Productions on a project called Pheasant.
Step away.
Right.
I mean, it sounds so gentle, like a mutual parting of ways over a cup of coffee or something.
But the facade of that mutual parting, it shatters exactly 1 minute later,
1 minute.
literally 10:31 p.m.
Yeah.
Asha Sharma, the newly appointed CEO of Xbox, who just took over earlier in 2026, she drops a hammer.
Yeah, she did.
She tweets out this super proud announcement that Xbox will be publishing both Pheasant and another Kojima project, OD. And she's heavily focusing on the Japanese market in the post, calling it a monumental moment for Xbox.
1 minute, 60 seconds. I mean, that is not a coincidence.
Not at all.
That is someone sitting in a corporate office with their finger just hovering over the post button, waiting for Sony to make their move.
Oh, absolutely. And the hits just kept coming. Because just 8 minutes after Sharma's tweet, so at 10:39 p.m., Hideo Kojima himself releases a comprehensive statement.
And he didn't hold back.
No, he completely strips away Sony's polite narrative. He reveals that Sony actually canceled the project outright 3 months prior,
3 months.
back in mid-June, and he'd spent those 3 months quietly looking for a new partner to keep the project alive.
That is just wild to me. And, for anyone who might not be steeped in gaming history, we have to frame the weight of this betrayal.
Yeah, it's huge.
This isn't just any developer. We are talking about a 30-year history between Sony and Kojima. I mean, he built his legacy there.
He absolutely did.
Yeah.
This is the relationship that brought us Metal Gear Solid back in 1998, which, practically invented the modern stealth action genre.
Right.
And beyond that, Sony quite literally came to his rescue in 2016.
Oh, the Konami situation?
Exactly. When Kojima had this incredibly bitter split from his former publisher, Konami. I mean, they literally removed his name from the box art of his own game.
Which is still crazy to think about.
It's insane. But Sony swooped in. They gave him an unlimited budget, full marketing support, and something absolutely crucial. They gave him the Decima engine to make Death Stranding.
Okay, wait, I've seen that term in the dossier, the Decima engine. What makes giving him that so significant? Like, why is that a big deal?
So a game engine is essentially the incredibly expensive underlying software blueprint used to build a digital world.
Okay.
It handles the physics, the lighting, how the characters move.
Yeah.
Sony's internal studios spent years and, frankly, millions of dollars building the Decima engine.
Right.
And they just handed the keys to Kojima, an external partner, completely free of charge. They gave him a blank check and total creative freedom.
Wow. Which makes this cancellation even more jarring, right?
Yeah.
Because if we jump back to January 2024, Pheasant was announced at a massive PlayStation showcase.
I remember it vividly.
Right. They had Herman Hulst, the head of PlayStation Studios, standing shoulder to shoulder with Kojima on the Columbia Pictures lot in Hollywood.
With the drone shots and everything.
Yes, there was this dramatic drone shot pulling back, and Hulst is making these grand promises about fully supporting the project with all the latest innovations Sony has to offer.
Yeah.
And then, what, less than 2 years later, they just pull the plug? To me, I mean, this feels like a messy, high-profile celebrity divorce, but the new spouse is literally waiting at the courthouse steps with a signed marriage certificate in hand.
That's a very accurate analogy.
But if Sony spent 30 years building this cultural icon, why on earth would they just hand him to their biggest rival?
Well, to answer that, we really have to shift our focus from the emotional history to the terrifying math of modern AAA game development.
The math is terrifying.
It is, because the economics of the industry, they have fundamentally changed in just the last few years.
And when you say AAA game development, you mean like the massive blockbuster titles, right?
Exactly.
Basically the video game equivalent of a Marvel movie.
Precisely. So let's look at the raw data for Sony's recent first-party titles. The Last of Us Part II cost approximately $220 million to make.
$220 million.
Just for development.
Just for development. And then Horizon Forbidden West exceeded $200 million. Spider-Man 2 cost roughly $300 million.
That is astronomical.
It really is. Now, factor in Hideo Kojima's specific development style. He is known for incredibly lengthy, expensive development cycles.
Right, he's a perfectionist.
Yeah, and he uses high-end digital performance capture. He hires major Hollywood celebrity actors. I mean, Death Stranding had Norman Reedus, Mads Mikkelsen, Lea Seydoux.
Yeah, that's an A-list cast. And Kojima publicly stated his goal with Pheasant was to, quote, redefine the action espionage genre.
And you definitely don't redefine a genre on a shoestring budget.
You do not. Industry analysts estimate that Pheasant was staring down a development and marketing budget of at least $250 to $300 million.
Wow.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, you have to look at how a publisher makes that money back. Death Stranding was critically acclaimed, but it sold around 5 to 7 million copies.
No, see, that sounds like a lot of copies to me.
It does sound like a lot.
If I sell 7 million of anything, I'm feeling pretty good about it, right?
It sounds impressive on paper, but let's break down the mechanics of retail sales.
Okay.
If a game sells for $70, the publisher doesn't get all $70.
Right. Everybody takes a cut.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You have to subtract the cut taken by digital storefronts or physical retailers, the shipping costs, and those massive global marketing campaigns. Suddenly, 5 to 7 million copies on a $300 million budget. That isn't a blockbuster formula.
So they're barely breaking even.
Barely breaks even, yeah. And in today's corporate economy, breaking even is considered a massive financial liability.
So Herman Hulst, who took over after Jim Ryan resigned in 2024, he's looking at a spreadsheet and sweating.
Absolutely sweating.
He's looking at a $250 million price tag for a game that might only appeal to a niche audience.
And management transitions always trigger strategic reassessments. Under Hulst, Sony is aggressively shifting toward safe, proven franchises with highly predictable returns on investment.
They want sure bets.
Right. They want more God of War, more Spider-Man. Experimental, auteur-driven projects are simply too risky when a single failure can literally sink an entire fiscal quarter.
Yeah. And the dossier also mentions Sony's digital shift. They made a highly controversial decision in July 2026.
Right. The announcement that Sony will cease physical disc production for new titles starting in 2028.
Which people were not happy about.
Oh, that sparked massive backlash from game collectors. But it signals a rigid, digital-first, highly controlled ecosystem for the company.
Got it.
Add to that the fact that Pheasant wouldn't even be truly exclusive to PlayStation. Death Stranding 2 is already confirmed for a PC release following its PS5 debut.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The days of Sony bankrolling massive third-party exclusives without ironclad permanent exclusivity contracts, those days are over. Pheasant simply didn't fit into this new rigid framework that Hulst is building.
Okay, I mean, I understand the raw math. I get the spreadsheets. But as someone observing this from a cultural standpoint, it feels like PlayStation fans are losing something intangible here.
They definitely are.
Because Sony used to be the haven for experimental risks.
They were. Kojima's games are famous for things that just don't make sense on a corporate spreadsheet.
Right.
Think about the twist in Metal Gear Solid 2. Where you don't even play as the main character you thought you were going to play as.
Yes, or the Psycho Mantis fight where he reads your memory card.
Exactly. Breaking the fourth wall. Or the completely bizarre gameplay loop of Death Stranding, which is essentially, you know, post-apocalyptic delivery simulator.
Right. But those creative gambles, they only happen because Sony provided a protective environment for them.
That's the key.
Because first-party exclusives aren't just about unit sales, are they? They are about brand identity. They are about being the platform where groundbreaking art happens. So is Sony really trading that identity just to balance a quarterly spreadsheet?
By walking away from Kojima, Sony is voluntarily giving up a piece of that identity, yes. But this leads to the next logical step in the Ticking Game report.
Okay.
If Fizzen is too expensive and risky for Sony to justify, how does Xbox justify writing the check?
That is the multi-million dollar question right there. If the math doesn't work for PlayStation, what magical calculator is Xbox using to make this make sense?
Well, Xbox evaluates risk through a completely different paradigm. We have to move our thinking from traditional retail economics, like selling a disc, to subscription economics.
Okay, break that down for me.
Microsoft isn't trying to sell 15 million standalone copies of a game at $70 a pop. They're trying to acquire and retain subscribers for Xbox Game Pass.
Wait, help me understand that mechanism. How does a monthly subscription model financially absorb $150 million game development cost?
Think about the 40-plus million people currently paying a monthly fee for Game Pass. Let's say, conservatively, that brings in $500 million a month in recurring revenue.
A month. Wow.
Exactly. Microsoft's primary metric for success isn't box office numbers. It's subscriber retention and acquisition.
Ah, I see.
If Fizzen only sells 3 million standalone copies for Sony, that's a catastrophic failure.
Right.
But for Microsoft, if that same game drives 2 million new people to sign up for Game Pass, and more importantly, keeps millions of current subscribers happy so they don't cancel their $15 a month fee, it's a massive financial win.
So the recurring revenue from the subscription model provides a financial cushion.
Yes, it makes experimental prestige projects viable.
So they aren't looking for a blockbuster summer movie hit. They're looking for that prestige HBO Sunday night drama that keeps you subscribed the whole year.
That is a perfect analogy. And that's why Xbox was willing to commit an estimated $100 to $150 million to back Fizzen's development and marketing.
Unbelievable.
Remember, Xbox has demonstrated a massive appetite for absorbing risk to build out their content library. They spent $69 billion to acquire Activision Blizzard.
Right, the Call of Duty deal.
Yeah, they spent $7.5 billion on Bethesda, a $150 million check for one of the most recognizable creators in the world. That is practically a rounding error for them if it secures premium content for their ecosystem.
A rounding error. That's just wild. But it's not just about beefing up the Game Pass library in general, right? There is a very specific geographic target outlined in the dossier.
There is.
And the data here about Xbox's history in Japan is just brutal.
It is a history of absolute failure. Let's look at the numbers. The original Xbox sold just 450,000 units in Japan.
Total.
Total. The Xbox 360 improved slightly to 1.6 million units. But
Yeah.
keep in mind, the PlayStation 3 sold 10 million in the same time frame.
Oh,
And the
wow.
Xbox One, it collapsed to under 200,000 units. It was practically invisible in Japanese retail.
Under 200,000 units for an entire console generation in one of the biggest gaming markets in the world.
Yeah.
That is catastrophic. But I have to push back here for a second. The report suggests Asha Sharma is using Kojima as a Trojan horse to crack the Japanese market.
She is.
Is one creator really enough to reverse 20 years of market dominance by Nintendo and Sony? That sounds like a massive gamble.
It is a gamble, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you have to look at how Japanese gamers actually consume media. They historically prefer portable systems, which Nintendo dominates, along with local franchises and JRPGs.
Right, those massive story-heavy titles.
Exactly. But Xbox's library has always been heavily Western-focused with shooters and Western RPGs. But by signing Hideo Kojima, who is a veritable cultural icon in Japan, Xbox is completely bypassing the hardware problem.
Wait, what do you mean by passing the hardware?
Well, you don't need to convince a Japanese gamer to buy a bulky Xbox console to put under their TV anymore.
Oh.
You just convince them to stream a Kojima game on their PC, their tablet, or their phone through Xbox Cloud Gaming via Game Pass.
Oh, wow.
The game itself is the hook, and the cloud infrastructure is how they deliver it, without asking the consumer to change their hardware habits.
So Kojima is essentially the bait to get the Game Pass app onto Japanese smartphones.
Precisely.
And he is developing two massive games for Xbox right now, right? Because Asha Sharma's tweet mentioned OD as well.
Yes, Kojima Productions has two major projects actively in development with Xbox. There's OD, which is a horror game he's developing in collaboration with Jordan
The
Peele.
Oscar-winning director behind Get Out and Nope.
That's the one. That's been in the works since 2023. And now Fizzent, the action espionage title, What's fascinating here is that Kojima actually hinted in his statement that the partnership extends, quote, beyond OD.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's just a whole pipeline of future projects. There's even speculation about whether Microsoft might eventually acquire the studio outright, though, you know, that remains unconfirmed.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting to me. The Jordan Peele connection with OD, the Hollywood actors in Death Stranding. Xbox isn't just paying $150 million for a video game.
No, they were not.
They are buying an intellectual property engine. This whole thing feels way bigger than just console wars.
You're touching on what might be the absolute most crucial element of this entire intelligence dossier, Microsoft's transmedia ambitions.
Okay, yeah. Let's talk about that.
The line between what is a video game and what is a film is rapidly vanishing. Kojima gave an interview to Variety in 2024 where he explicitly talked about this.
I remember reading about that.
He pointed out that in the past, movies and games were like oil and water, analog versus digital. But today, movies are shot on digital cameras, post-production is entirely digital, and they are streamed digitally right into your living room.
Right. But how does that practically make it easier for Xbox to turn a game into a movie or a TV show?
It comes down to asset sharing.
Asset sharing, okay.
Kojima noted that movies are now using Unreal Engine, the exact same 3D computer graphics game engine used by developers worldwide to create their virtual backgrounds and environments.
Like the LED volumes they use on Star Wars shows.
Exactly. They use the exact same digital performance capture that game developers use.
Mm-hmm.
If you build a highly detailed 3D digital model of a character or a city for the video game in Unreal Engine, you can literally drag and drop those exact same digital assets into a virtual production set for the television show.
Wow.
The technological pipelines are nearly identical now, which just slashes production costs and timelines for adapting games into shows.
So Microsoft is absolutely leaning into that efficiency.
Big time.
Because the official Xbox statement didn't just announce a game publishing deal. They explicitly said they are collaborating across film and television to bring these stories to broader audiences.
Right.
That implies Fizzen could be a dual-track project. They could be developing a massive AAA game and a streaming series simultaneously using the exact same digital assets.
Which aligns perfectly with broader industry trends.
Yeah.
Look at the Puck Report. Included in our sources.
Oh, yeah, the licensing deals.
It reveals that Microsoft is currently negotiating licensing rights packages worth around $300 million to adapt their existing franchises, like The Elder Scrolls and Diablo, into Hollywood productions.
Because they saw The Last of Us.
Exactly. They're looking at the monumental, culture-shifting success of The Last of Us adaptation on HBO, and they want that transmedia dominance for themselves.
It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe strategy. They aren't just selling comic books, or in this case, video games anymore. They are selling an entire lifestyle ecosystem. You play the game on Game Pass, you watch the spin-off series on a streaming service, you buy the merchandise.
It all feeds into itself.
And Sony tried this, but outside of The Last of Us, their film adaptations like Uncharted or Ghost of Tsushima, they have really struggled to make a massive cultural impact. Xbox sees Kojima as the master key to unlocking a truly holistic transmedia empire.
It is the future of entertainment economics. The intellectual property value multiplies exponentially when it crosses mediums successfully. And Kojima as narrative style, which already heavily mimics prestige television, it's tailor-made for this exact strategy.
So, like, what does this all mean for the person listening to this right now?
Right.
We've talked about the billions of dollars, the digital asset pipelines, the corporate espionage, but let's bring it back to the living room.
Ultimately, this signifies the definitive end of an era.
The end of exclusivity.
Exactly. The days of permanent platform exclusivity are dead. Development costs have swiftly become too astronomical to restrict a game's sales to a single plastic box under your television.
The math just doesn't support it anymore.
It really doesn't. Even Sony is releasing their first-party titles on PC after a year or two, just to recoup development costs.
And this Kojima deal is going to have a massive ripple effect, right?
Massive.
Because if the biggest auteur in the industry just proved you don't need a single platform holder to survive.
Oh, absolutely. Think about mid-tier, highly respected independent studios like Remedy Entertainment, who make Alan Wake and Control.
Yeah.
Or Supergiant Games, who made Hades. They are watching this happen in real time. They now have precedent to demand multi-platform flexibility from publishers. The power dynamic is shifting from the platform holders, the companies making the consoles, to the content creators.
And for you, the player, that's actually a huge win.
It is overwhelmingly positive for the consumer. More competition means creators have leverage to make better, more daring games. And fundamentally, it means accessibility. If a massive game like Pheasant eventually releases on Xbox, PC, and maybe even PlayStation down the line, nobody is forced to spend $500 on a specific piece of hardware just to access one piece of art.
You get to play what you want, where you want.
Often for a flat monthly subscription fee.
It really was the moment the tectonic plates of the industry shifted. The old foundation of selling individual discs to a locked-in audience cracked, and the new foundation of digital ecosystems basically swallowed the living room.
That's the perfect way to put it.
But I do want to leave you, our listener, with one final thought to chew on. We've unpacked Xbox's strategy of using subscription revenue to write blank checks to major creators.
Yep.
And we've seen Sony retreating to the safety of guaranteed hits, internal sequels, known quantities, you know, balancing that spreadsheet.
Playing it safe.
If this trend continues for the next 5 years, what exactly happens to PlayStation? If all the risky, experimental, groundbreaking new art migrates to the Xbox ecosystem because of the financial safety net of subscriptions, Sony might wake up half a decade from now to find their exclusive library looks completely identical to what it was a decade ago.
This is a very real possibility.
Sure, the graphics will be prettier, the load times will be faster, but will the soul still be there?
That is the big question.
It really is the multi-billion dollar question. If you want to see the raw data for yourself, I highly encourage you to visit takinggame.com. Read the full intelligence dossier, check out the archive edition of this story, and dive deeper into the financial reports that fueled today's deep dive. It is a fascinating look at where your entertainment is heading next.